Thank you for listening to Gateway Sermon of the Week. For more information, please contact us at igateway.org. We are going to talk about the government. How many have been to a message before a church where they talked about government? All right. Like I said, I'll be predicting the next president, so hold on. No, I won't. Our message today is titled, In God We Trust. Amen. All right? How many know that is our nation's motto? In God We Trust. And what has happened to our country, I think it's good from a biblical perspective to take a look at what is the purpose, what is the root of government, what's the source of government. How many think government is a big issue right now? Very big, right? Many of you are going, I've watched enough news during the day. Do I really want to hear more? Well, just to give you a little bit of my history, about 20-some years ago, I began to really study and search out what God's government was like. What are some of the principles that God established in the Bible? And how do we apply them to our government today? How do we apply the whole idea of God and government? How do we understand how God operates through political leaders versus how he operates in a church? Hopefully clarify maybe some of the issues that we struggle with as Christians, how we should be involved. But it's what I want to share with you today is mainly from a biblical perspective of how God himself views government. Did you know the 84th Congress passed a joint resolution declaring, In God we trust. Let's say that together. In God we trust. It's the national motto of the United States, and the law was signed by President Eisenhower on July 30th, 1956. A lot of us thought that this was a lot earlier, didn't you? I know most, I was like, wow, in God we trust. I thought that was from the very beginning. But we can see within the last 70 years, there was a revitalization that says we need to make sure that our roots are in God. And unfortunately, I have to put a question mark at the end of this motto today. In God we trust? Really? Because I think what has happened in our society is we have to be aware of how government has actually taken some roles and become something that the church should have been in some ways. There's been some changes that have happened. And I want to go at this from a biblical stance. But before I do that, I have a quick video about the government, and it's a funny video, so go ahead and enjoy. All right. You guys like Tim Hawkins? I like Tim Hawkins. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this message today. Thank you for giving us your perspective on government, God. We know you created it, but God, we ask today for clarity. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and minister, open up our hearts and our minds, that we can hear clearly what you have to say today. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen. Yeah, all right. So when we talk about government, I want to just give you 4 points. And if you need a worksheet, just go and open up your bulletin. Just have 4 points that I want to give to you today that might help you have a better understanding of how government operates, but how government was created to operate from the very beginning. Tim Hawkins does a great job of just explaining and letting us laugh, but there's so much truth to what he has to say. But at the same time, I want to go show you in the scriptures where what he is saying about government becoming so big that it's actually something God said, that was never my heart for government to get that big. I'll show you that today in the scriptures. Is that okay? What I'm basing this on is not just my political views, but it's the scriptures. And we'll go through that today and talk about that. But the first thing I want you to fill in today is the idea of government. Where did government come? Who came up with the idea of government? God did. And what does he tell us about government? It's interesting when we read the book of Romans. It tells us in Romans 13, verse 1, it says, Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Did you know God establishes authorities in government? He does that. And the authorities that exist have been established by who? God. So what am I preaching? Am I preaching rebellion from the government? Absolutely not, because they have been instituted by God himself. Well, we voted them in there, yes, but in the same ways, there's no way that someone could be in office unless, because God, you know, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He could change things just like that. Did you know that? He could. So if there's an authority that has been established, Romans 13 tells us that he's there because God is there. But then in Revelation 13, it also talks about a season where it's time to throw off the yokes and rebel against ungodly authorities. Our very country was founded. You know why we had a revolution? Too much taxes. That's why we revolted. So we are a country that had revolted, had thrown off the yoke of oppression. So is there a time for that? Yes. Am I preaching that today? No, I'm not. But I want to tell you that we need to take to heart these messages seriously, that authorities are established by God. Verse 2, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Friends, let me tell you, it's vital that we carry honor and respect for our governmental leaders. I may disagree with, I absolutely disagree with so many people in the political realm. But we honor their position and we pray for them. Because why? Because Christ tells us to. We have to. And we're praying. We're also asking that we're not going to have a rebellious attitude toward the government. You know, it's very common in our societies today where there is rebellion toward people in places of authority. And when people do not subject themselves to authority, they bring harm upon themselves. And that's a dangerous thing, but they're violating a biblical principle that these authorities have been established by God. Verse 3, for the rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended, right? Very simple biblical concept. Verse 4 says, for the one in authority is God's servant, for your good. I am glad that we have police force out there. I am glad that we have someone out there with a sword, that if there is trouble, we say, hey, I need help. And I'm hoping that they don't bring the Bible. I'm hoping that they bring a sword or a gun to keep me protected. Right? We need protection. And that's why God has placed them there. And it goes on to say that, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So we are grateful for law and order. This is something God has established in his heart. He is not a God of lawlessness. He's established government because why? Because we live amidst sinful people with carnal desires. All right? So Paul says to Titus, he says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. So as believers, number one, we need to recognize authority comes from God. We need to pray for our authorities, and then we need to recognize that there is rebellion. How many have seen that? There's rebellion in our nation toward God-given authority. Now, we don't give over to that, but we've got to see it for what it is. They're violating a biblical mandate to obey and to listen to authority. But is government important? Absolutely. We need to be praying for government. We need to be involved in praying for the right leaders, the right people to be raised up in the right place. Number two, I want to talk about the reach of government. How many feel affected by the government? Yeah. Oh, I don't care about government. Well, it's because we live in a free and independent society. If you lived in another nation, travel the world. You know, we had visit friends recently and you know, their issues where they are currently, you know, they are not even allowed to they can't even give out their, you know, if they give you their text or their email, they said, please don't mention anything about church. Don't mention anything about God because the government can come in any time and put us in jail. They have friends who are in prison for their beliefs, for printing Christian literature. So thank God for good government. There are people out there today that have absolutely no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion. Government is very influential. There's a reach that government has that we need to be aware of. As Christians, praying for and active in seeing godly people with godly principles to stand in government. Think about Pilate. Remember the story of Pilate when he had Jesus and then he had Barabbas. And he had the choice. He was the government, the governing authority for that decision. And so when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which do you want me to release to you, Jesus or Barabbas?" Jesus, who is called the Messiah, or Barabbas? Now, the interesting thing about Barabbas, did you know some translations, I know in Luke chapter 23, verse 19, said Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. And one translation I like this, it says he was a notorious murderer. Think about that. You have a choice to have one of these two people released into your society. Would you like Jesus, who is healing the sick, raising the dead, multiplying food, or would you like a notorious murderer? Like when you think of a notorious murderer, who do you think of? Charles Manson, somebody like that, somebody crazy. Do you want Charles Manson living next to you? See, government has the choice either to release Jesus into our society or to release a murderer into our society. Because Pilate was warned in a dream by his wife, "This man's done nothing wrong." Speaking of Jesus, but we underestimate sometimes the authority that government has. Why? Because they've been given that authority. And we'll talk more about how being in authority, God has some very clear direction about how they should live their lives. But what happened to Pilate? Who did he choose? Barabbas. Bad choice, Pilate. And why did he choose them? Because of the crowds of people. You know, sometimes government people have to make decisions that are not necessarily what the crowds want. But it's vital we see government has authority. You guys doing okay so far? Do we need to play another Tim Hawkins video? All right. Just want to give you a few ideas that I wrote in my book, Cities, Gates, and Elders. I wrote this about 20 years ago. But it says this, legal matters are inevitable among the fallen race of man, and God ordained government for this reason. Certain legal matters demand specific legal action. What does that do? You know, you think about some societies. If someone does something wrong, there's a specific action that should take place upon this person, a specific punishment. You know, if you steal something, what happens? You must pay it back. In the Bible, you said you must pay back sevenfold return. And so there's also leniency upon the person who does wrong, where some, you know, in the Islamic governments, you steal something, anybody know what happens? Okay? That's not godly. That's not biblical. That is harsh. So we have to remember, government is a very important part of our lives, and we should have a biblically based government with biblical principles. You know, when the early founders wrote that we need to separate church and state, they weren't talking about keeping the church out of the state. They were talking about keeping the state out of the church. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Anyone who knows anything about history in the government should know that it's not about the church staying out of the state. It's about the state staying out of the church. So if anybody brings that up, say, I'm full agreement, separation of church and state. Absolutely. State, stay out of the church. Anyway, good point, Pastor. Yeah, I thought so. Thank you. Leaders were chosen, this next verse. Statement. Leaders were chosen to maintain government based on God's given laws. In Israel, there was to be no separation between church and state. God was able to deal with his community only through a government that was established by him, a government that upheld his laws and all his covenant. Now, am I saying we need a Christian president? No, I'm not. But we need a person who can understand God's laws and God's ways and follow them. That's the goal of having someone in office that understands that. A government that failed to judge by the law would bring the community under judgment. The judgment of the elders could possibly avert the judgment of God from falling upon the community. What happens is God sees our nation as one corporate entity. This is a biblical concept. He doesn't see America made up of 300 million individuals. He sees us as one corporate entity. That means as leaders, when they govern and they make decisions, the decisions that government makes affects the entire group of the entire corporate society. So that's why it's vital that we are praying and speaking out that government leaders should be making decisions based upon God's principles. What happens if they make wrong decisions? All of us are affected. A lot of people don't think it's fair. They think, well, I'm an individual. If I do wrong, I get affected by what I do. That's not how the Bible works, guys. When we live in a society, when we're part of a group, what happens to one of us happens to all of us. I know we're very independent-minded, but that's the truth. The truth happens is that we need to be aware that government has great reach into our communities. You guys getting something out of this? Someone? Okay. All right. So it goes on to say, God ordered the Israelites to appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. So in the Old Testament, when they appointed people to be their leaders, and they were called elders. So each tribe, there was 12 tribes, and they would actually appoint different leaders of their tribe. And they would call them elders. So what happens was, is they would choose someone who was godly, who was well-respected and well-known to be their leader. It's kind of what we do today, isn't it? We have a choice. We have to make decisions based upon how people live their lives. And it goes on to say, leaders were commanded, do not pervert justice or show partiality. The literal translation for not showing partiality is do not recognize faces. Now, if you study ancient history, the way that cities were set up is they would have what was called a city was a walled city. It wouldn't be called a city unless it had walls. And in each wall, there was different gates that were stationed around the city. And these gates were open spaces. So it wasn't just the gate. When we talk about the gates of hell would not prevail, it was more of a gateway where the judges would sit for that city. And so when it says don't recognize faces and don't show partiality, what it was basically saying is that if someone comes to you and they say, this has happened to me, you judge them based on the law. You judge them based on whether what they did was right or wrong, not on their ability to bribe you or things they had done to you in the past or done for you or not done for you. And what happens was the judges would become corrupt if they accepted bribes. And God speaks out against this. And we would look at our government today. How many know that our government is being bribed? It is. And we need people in government that don't show partiality to faces. I think that's a huge issue. That we need to say, no, this is just wrong. We're not doing that. I don't care how much money you'll give to my campaign or what you will do for me. It's based on what's right and what's wrong. And God warns him, says, we need leaders who will not pervert justice, because when we accept bribes, we're perverting justice. And how do you think God feels about that? He's not happy. All right. It says they were to treat each other, each case, on the basis of the facts and not on the basis of those involved. The leaders were warned, Deuteronomy 16:19, not to accept bribes. Scripture says a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. That's what a bribe does. It blinds the eyes of the wise and it twists the words of the righteous. So we should be up in arms, basically saying we need leaders who will not be controlled by the bribes of rich people, by the bribes of any organization whatsoever. All right, good point, Pastor. Yeah, thank you so much. Number three, the size of government. All right, and this is what I want to talk about. Tim did a great job of dancing and laughing. It was fun. He's showing us what happens when a government just grows and grows and grows and grows. Well, what's this concept? This isn't live broadcasted, is it? Warplanes from the White House called to destroy Gateway. That was a joke. That was weird, though. Those of you on the recording, there was just a helicopter that flew over. Because people will be wondering on the recording, what are they talking about? All right, so let's look at the scriptures today. And we're going to go back in the 1 Samuel chapter 8. Okay, and it says this. It says, the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Now, when we look at the book of Samuel, Samuel was a transitional figure. What Samuel was is he was a prophet, but he was also a leader. And Samuel was the leader of Israel prior to them receiving a king. Does anybody remember this story? Samuel is a very transitional person. Because Samuel transitioned Israel from being governed by prophets to now being governed by kings. And how many know when the people came and they said, we want a king, Samuel. We want you to appoint us a king. How many know God said, bad idea. If you've never read this portion of scripture, you will be amazed at how this applies to government today. How this applies to us as Americans. God wasn't happy with their decision. Why? Because it didn't say, in God we trust. And that's our country's motto. You look on your dollar bills, it says, in God we trust. But God says, really? Now you want a king. You want more government. That's what a king was to Samuel, was more government. Okay, if we go down together, guys, I'm going to keep preaching. I don't care. You need to leave now. You need to run. It's okay. All right. And I love what they come to Samuel. So what's happening is the elders of the government, the elders of the tribes are coming to Samuel and they say, Samuel, we're just not happy. We want a king. We want more government. We want more stability. We want you to do something. We want you to appoint us a king. And they go to Samuel and they said to him, verse 5, I love this. You're old. Thanks a lot. And your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. You know, Samuel felt grieved about that question. Give us more government. More government. And it says this, it says verse 7, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me. This is the Lord saying, they've rejected me as their king. Verse 9, now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. You know, this is an amazing saying. It says, a government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything that you have. Thomas Jefferson warned us. He said, the course of history shows that as a government grows, liberty decreases. Okay? And I want to show you from a biblical standpoint, they're asking for a king, displeased the Lord. But don't you love the Lord? He's like, if that's what you want, let me tell you what's going to happen. Be aware of these are the consequences, but God's not a control freak. Don't you love that about him? He's like, okay, this is what's going to happen, but I love you. But here are the consequences. And he goes and he tells them, he said, and this concept here is another very simple concept that I say all the time. I heard this from David Jeremiah a number of years ago. He said, if someone is getting paid without working, someone else is working without getting paid. The government doesn't have its own money. It only has money that it takes from the people. Now you say, oh, Chris, you're just getting this from our political view. No, this is exactly the warning that is given to God, given to Samuel by God. He says this in verse 11. He said, this is what the Lord said, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of the chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equip his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, vineyards, and olive groves and give them to his attendants. Verse 15, he will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. By the way, now it's not a tenth anymore. It's up to 30, 40, even 50% of what is being taken. Verse 16, your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. Verse 17, he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. Verse 18, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. Let's all say wow. Isn't that true? It's exactly what is happening in our government. It's because we've not taken the warning of what happens when we want more and more and more. But verse 19, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. That's what they wanted. We want a king. When Samuel heard all the people, he said, he repeated before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them their king. So Samuel did exactly what the Lord said. He actually chose a king by the name of Saul. But before I point the finger at government, let me point back to us, because this is not a judgment on government. There's some amazing people out there serving in government. There are. It's one of the most challenging, difficult jobs out there. And we pray for them. We love them. We bless them. But how many can see from a biblical point of view that when we want more government, we're actually abandoning what God calls our own need to govern ourselves? Because the more we need outward government, the less inward governing we will have. Because there's two different parties out there. One represents big government, the Democratic Party. They want big government, bigger government. But notice, there's also less restraint on the morals in this party. You have another party, Republican Tea Party, however you want to say it. They want smaller government, but they're also encouraging higher morals. But if you have less morals, listen to this. This is a concept. You may not agree with me. The less morals you have, the more outward government you need. The bigger government you need when there's less morals. The more we govern ourselves, the less outward government we need. You guys feel that? Okay, that's a very simple concept, but there's weight to that. And this is meat today. Trust me, this is meat. This is not milk. This is meat. We have to take a good look at this. But who's the problem? Can we point to ourselves as the church as being the problem? Probably. Did the government have to step in and do things that the church refused to do itself? Is that a possibility? Did the church have its head in the sand? Do we have our head in the sand? And is it time that we rise up and become what we're supposed to be? Hear me on this. I know that whoever gets in office is not going to change my spiritual nature, my love for God, my desire, my hunger for the kingdom. What really changes a nation is what happens in the hearts of God's people, not who's in the White House. The most important thing is that our heart, we've given ourselves over for God to revive us. Because however the White House gets filled, hey, as long as my house, my spiritual house is filled with God, it's good. But we're addressing some of these things this morning. What did the people come to Samuel say? They said, hey, man, you're old. Okay, that was one thing they said. But they said one other thing. This is what happened in 1 Samuel. It says, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders, but his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. You see, prior to them asking a king, Samuel himself appointed his own sons, but they were dishonest. They perverted justice. So what do we do as a church? We repent for our ungodliness, for our injustice, for our perversion. Because people, if they can't look to the church, they're going to look for another source. And if we're not shining and being who we're called to be, if we're not reaching out and making a difference, We have no one to blame but ourselves. So the message today is, oh, government's bad, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. That's not what I'm saying. I want to give you a clear picture, but I also want to take responsibility as well. Let's talk about the role of government. I've got about 5 more minutes. Are you guys getting some out of this today? Hopefully you guys are just thinking deeply and not going, I don't know. You're quiet. All right. So what's the role of government? We're going to close with these thoughts. What's the role of government? What has happened is the government has decided to take charge of certain roles in the society. Let's say you have a basketball team. You have 5 people you need to put on the court. You have 2 guards, you have 2 forwards, and you have a center. You have some cheerleaders, but they're not important right now. Okay. Okay, the cheerleaders are important. I'm sorry. But I'm not talking about them right now. So, who are you going to choose as the center of your team? Okay, thank you. The tallest guy, yes. Thank you. Who said that? You guys are brilliant. I mean, thank you. It's a trick question. You're probably going to take the guy who's like 10 foot tall. You're the center. Why? Well, that's just his position. And then, you know, find the guy who can dribble really well. The forwards are really good shooters. Okay, we're trying to find who is the best for each role. But what if the short guy really wants to play center? I really like playing center. I felt like God told me I should play center. I could jump high. I don't know what, you know, he's trying to convince you that he really wants to play center. Well, the truth is, it's just not your role. You were not called to be the center. God has not given you that ability to be tall, okay? It's okay. We love you. You can be a guard. You learn how to dribble the ball. Don't spend your time trying to do something that you're not gifted in doing, okay? So the government, and if you put this up, the government will decide what's private run and what's government run. Okay. Obviously, we have mail that's government-run, education that's government-run, most of it, charity. The government has stepped into the whole concept of charity, healthcare, law enforcement, roads, banks, military, morality. Has the government chosen roles that were supposed to be filled by the church? And so when the short guy becomes center, what happens? Are you winning or are you losing? But what if the center, the guy who is 10 foot tall, he doesn't show up? Short guys, this is an amazing analogy. I just made it up. Yeah. It's lame. The short guy, well, if the center doesn't show up, if the person who's supposed to be playing center doesn't engage, then the short guy plays center, and we're losing. So we can say, hey, government shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing this. But then at the same token, we got to say, what should we be doing as the body of Christ? Okay, this is where we're trying to turn the ship back, that we ourselves are saying we don't need big government. Why? Because we're governing ourselves. We don't need outward control. Why? Because we've been given the fruit of the Spirit, which is the last fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. Oh, you see, there's a picture that we need to embrace when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And let me end on the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. Did you guys get something out of today? Yes. All right. You may need to digest this a little bit. Sharpen your teeth a little bit here. What characteristic, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. We don't begin with self-control. In the Spirit, you don't begin with self-control. You begin with love. Some people teach the beginning is self-control. You got to get your life together, boy, before Jesus is going to accept you. No, that's beginning with self-control. What do we tell people? God loves you, right? It's the first thing we do. Why? Because love is the first step in seeing someone walk in the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What begins with love ends with self-control. That's where we as the body of Christ should end up. We should end up being able to govern ourselves, govern our emotions, govern our finances, govern our well-being. Government has an amazing place to protect us, to build roads. We may differ on education here and there, but let's say we need to look at where has the government overstepped their role? Where do they belong? Morality, do they belong in making decisions on morality? No. We need them in our military, absolutely. How about healthcare? Should they be involved in healthcare? See, this is where we're going to find two different beliefs. But let me encourage you, the bigger we allow the government to be shows where we in our own hearts are not governing ourselves. So what's the best thing we can do is we can begin to govern our own emotions, our lives. What did Mother Teresa say? You want to bring peace to the world? Go home and love your family. Simple. So, let's stand.